If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 to 35. As we continue in our series, I Just Saw Jesus, Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the fact of your resurrection on that Easter Sunday. I just thank you, Lord, for the calling that you're making on our lives today to truly walk with you in a close relationship with you for all kinds of ministry purposes. Pray, Lord, you would just teach us this morning what it really means to walk with you. And pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last June the 9th, in Plainsfield, New Jersey, a utility crew was working on some underground power lines and left the cellar access doors opened on the sidewalk. And about that time, here came 67-year-old Lucinda Rogers. And because she was looking at her phone instead of looking where she was going, this is what happened. And it's not funny. Folks, that woman got hurt so bad, falling down 6 feet onto concrete steps, she had to be taken to the hospital. All over America today, all kinds of people are doing something called distracted walking, and they're getting seriously hurt because of it. And not only physically, but also spiritually. Because the devil and the world are constantly throwing all kinds of things at us to distract us and trip us up and take us out of any kind of serious walk with God. But the message of Easter tells us, in order to avoid distracted walking, we need to walk with Jesus. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series for Lent called I Just Saw Jesus, looking at all the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. Eyewitness accounts that not only prove the resurrection is true, but that also tell us how we can trust and serve Jesus Christ, just like all the people did back then who saw him risen from the dead. And today, we look at Jesus' third resurrection appearance. And that was the two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. And to see that, we turn this morning to Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 to 35. Luke chapter 24 tells us all about the tomb and the angels and the women and the disciples checking things out, the whole nine yards. But our text today then tells us how Jesus comes along on that first Easter Sunday afternoon and shows two of his followers what it really means to walk with him. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we can walk with Jesus too if we do exactly the same things that those followers did way back then. Our text this morning, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, tells us three things that we need to do in order to walk with the risen Jesus Christ just like he wants us to. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to walk with Jesus, we need to understand who we are walking with. And that's exactly what these two men don't understand here in verses 13 to 24. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly who these two guys were, except that one of them's name was Clopas, verse 18. But Jesus had all kinds of other followers outside the original 12 disciples. And being good Jews, they had gone to Jerusalem for Passover. They had seen Jesus tried and crucified. And here it was, Easter Sunday afternoon, Jesus Christ had already risen from the dead, but they didn't know that. So they were getting out of Dodge while the getting was good. Headed for a small town called Emmaus, 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem, and they were not walking with Jesus. And because of that, they were depressed. Verses 14 and 15 says here, they were discussing and talking about the scuttlebutt. What had happened in the previous 72 hours? And those words talked about and discussed in the Greek literally mean they were throwing it back and forth, which literally means the conversation was getting heated. Because verse 21, they had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah. And that during the Passover, he was going to whip the Romans and clean house with the Jewish leaders and set up his kingdom. But Jesus hadn't done that. And they were suffering from unfulfilled expectations. They loved Jesus. They believed in him. But Jesus just couldn't cut the mustard. Jesus didn't do what they thought he had promised to do. And they were royally ticked off. Hope had died, the fire had gone out, it had been a weekend from hell, and they were going back home feeling lower than Cody Parkey on Super Bowl Sunday. And folks, let me ask you this morning, how many of us feel exactly the same way this Easter season? Unfulfilled expectations. You thought the Chicago Cubs would have signed a big-name free agent during the offseason, but they didn't. You thought you'd have a girlfriend by now. You thought your kids would be married by now and out of the house. You thought a college degree would get you a good job. You didn't realize when you had a baby that meant no free time for the next 15 years. You thought Jesus was going to heal your mom and now you're planning her funeral. Unfulfilled expectations. But listen to me. Jesus Christ is not responsible for keeping promises he never made to start with. I beg your pardon, he never promised you a rose garden. And you know what? If you really were walking with him, you'd know that. But the good news is, even when we're not walking with Jesus, Jesus comes and walks with us. Verses 15 here. The two men are strolling along. All of a sudden, God's transporter beam, Jesus is there, walking with them. Last August, in Medford, New Jersey, 67-year-old Ruth Rett was having problems paying for her order at a local Wawa convenience store. When all of a sudden this stranger shows up and picks up the tab for her. And at first she didn't realize it was country singer Keith Urban. But verse 16 here, when Jesus shows up with these two guys on the Emmaus Road, they don't know him from Adam. They were walking with him physically, but they weren't walking with him spiritually. And being the wonderful counselor that he is, he draws out what's eating at him by asking him questions. What are you talking about? And verse 17 here says they were so got, literally stopped dead in their tracks and said, you've been living under a rock? Everybody's talking about it. It's all over Facebook. Whatever happened to that man called Jesus of Nazareth? And you can tell they didn't understand it because verses 19 and 21, they thought Jesus was only a prophet. And they thought Jesus being crucified meant he wasn't the Redeemer. And they didn't understand the resurrection either because verses 22 to 24, they knew that the women had seen angels at the tomb and the disciples had gone to the tomb and they saw that the tomb was empty, but they said nobody actually saw Jesus. Nobody saw him. They were standing right there looking at him. The one who was hearing the news was the one who was making the news. Talk about preaching to the choir. Listen to me. If you're not walking with Jesus, you can't recognize him, where he is and what he does. If you're not walking with Jesus, you don't know who he really is or what he did or what it means. If you're not walking with Jesus, you're just out there walking and going nowhere. Let me ask you this morning, who are you walking with this Easter season? And I know there's some people listening to me right now thinking, well, Kevin, I walk by myself. Then you're just like these two men in this story. No understanding, no protection, no covering, and the devil is going to chew you up and spit you up. 17-year-old Alexandra Valerosa was a junior in high school, Grafton, Massachusetts. Straight-A student, class officer, genius at robotics. Said she was a Christian, even went to a youth group. But folks, she had no clue who she really was in Christ because her parents found that she had written this for years in her journal. I'm hopeless, I'm worthless, I'm lazy, I'm unmotivated. So last February the 28th, Alexandra cleaned up her room, made her bed, walked out of her house, and then threw herself off the overpass onto the Massachusetts Turnpike and committed suicide. Said she knew Jesus, claimed that she loved him. But I guarantee you, she was not walking with him because Jesus would never, ever, ever tell anybody to do something like that. You're listening to this sermon this morning, you're not walking with Jesus, then you're walking with the devil, whether you realize it or not. People, we've got to be very, very, very careful who it is that we're walking with. Back in 1986, a 22-year-old guitar player named Vernon Howell became the leader of the Branch Davidian Church at the Mount Carmel property 10 miles west of Waco, Texas. He changed his name to David Koresh, which is the name of two biblical kings, and claimed that he was the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation who could unlock the fullness of Jesus' message right before the end times. And people started flocking to him. And he stockpiled weapons. And he would preach seven-hour sermons at all times of the day or night and require everybody to listen to them. Sermons about how one day the government was going to attack them and that would start the Great Tribulation. And David Koresh demanded celibacy from everybody except himself. So he took all kinds of spiritual wives, some girls as young as 12 years old, because he wanted to produce 24 sons to be the 24 elders to sit on those 24 thrones after the second coming. And so many people ate him up, they turned that Branch Davidian church there into a commune. But because of reports of illegal weapons and sex with underage girls, the FBI and the ATF raided that place on February the 28th, 1993, in a firefight that killed four federal agents and six Branch Davidians. And that started a 51-day siege and standoff that ended April 19th, 1993, when the feds used tanks to shoot tear gas into those buildings and the whole compound went up in flames. 75 Branch Davidians were killed, including David Koresh with a gunshot to the head, along with 25 children. Only 9 Branch Davidians survived, and every single one of them served prison time for conspiracy to murder federal agents. All that death, all that destruction, all that heartache, because a group of people chose to follow a man instead of following Jesus. And believe it or not, there's still some Branch Davidians out there today. The pictures you see here on the screen are two of the originals, Sheila Martin and Clive Doyle. And they still live in Waco, Texas. And every Saturday afternoon, they still get together for a Branch Davidian Bible study. And there's dozens of others of Branch Davidians all over the world who communicate by internet. And they still believe in David Koresh. And why? This is what Sheila Martin said. David Koresh was more than a prophet. He was just like Jesus. He was attacked by the government and the religious institution just like Jesus was. He died at age 33, just like Jesus did, and he rose from the dead, just like Jesus did. So they'll never find his bones. And one day, David Koresh will come back from heaven and take us all home. They followed a man instead of Jesus because they thought that man was Jesus. Folks, David Koresh wasn't the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And David Koresh didn't rise from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You follow Jesus, you get God's blessing. You follow a man, you get God's judgment. Psalm 146, verse 3, do not put your trust in men. The first thing we need to do in order to walk with Jesus, we need to understand who it is we're walking with. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to walk with Jesus. We not only need to understand who we're walking with, we also need to understand why we're walking with Him. And that's exactly what these two followers come to understand here, verses 25 to 27. And Jesus gets all over them about it. You shouldn't be sad about what happened to Jesus Christ, for crying out loud. You ought to be throwing confetti and blowing trumpets. And you should have perfectly understood everything that happened because God already told you about it in the Scriptures. You can't read? For heaven's sakes, do I need to draw you a picture? We walk with Jesus by walking in the Word because it's the Word that tells us why we should walk with Jesus. Notice verse 16. Those two followers were purposefully kept from recognizing Him. And why? Because God knew if they recognized Jesus just like that, they would never understand why He even had to die on a cross and rise from the dead to start with. And that's a problem that a lot of people have today. Rapper Cardi B said this, I know Easter is when Jesus rose from the dead, but I have no idea why He did or what it even means. So verse 27, Jesus spends the rest of that afternoon with those followers on the road to Emmaus, opening up the Scriptures to them and telling them everything the Scriptures said about Him and His death and resurrection. And remember, back then, they didn't have the Phil Robertson Duck Commander study Bible with Jesus' words in camo colors. Their Bible, their Scriptures, was Moses or the Law and the Prophets. In other words, the Old Testament. But folks, even that was enough because Jesus said, John chapter 5, verse 39, the Scriptures, the Old Testament, testify about Me. Jesus Christ is in every single one of those Old Testament books. Jesus is the seed of the woman in Genesis, the Lamb of God in Exodus, the scapegoat in Leviticus, the bronze serpent in Numbers, the great prophet in Deuteronomy, the angel of the Lord in Joshua and Judges, the Redeemer in Ruth, the son of David in Samuel, Kings and Chronicles, David's king in Psalms, the beloved in Song of Solomon, the suffering servant in Isaiah, the branch in Jeremiah, the great plant in Ezekiel, the son of man in Daniel. You get the idea. How many of y'all realize the gospel is in the Old Testament? How many of y'all realize you could get saved just by studying what the Old Testament says? Cut the Old Testament anywhere and it'll bleed the blood of Jesus. So what Jesus is telling these guys is the gospel. Jesus' death on the cross was no accident because Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He was the Son of God. And even before the creation of the world, it was God's plan that Jesus would come down to this earth, take on human form, and die on a cross to pay the price for sins, and rise from the dead to conquer sin, death, and hell forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And Jesus rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, all according to God's plan. The first time Jesus came, He died and rose again to redeem people. The second time when Jesus comes again, He'll redeem the nation of Israel and He'll set up His kingdom. The reason why we Christians walk with Jesus and only Jesus is because according to God's own word and plan and promise, Jesus Christ is the only perfect Son of God and the only Savior of the world. Enough said. We walk with Jesus by walking in the Word. And not just part of it, all of it. Because everybody and his brother in the church today wants to dump on the Old Testament. And this has been like that for a long time. Years ago, when I got out of seminary and doing pulpit supply, I'd go out to all these churches and some of the elders would tell me, well, whatever you do, don't preach from the Old Testament because our people don't know it. Well, don't you think it's time to start learning? The Old Testament is 75% of the Bible. And yet George Barna tells us almost 90% of all sermons preached in America's churches today are from the New Testament. Mega pastor Andy Stanley said this, any yeast from the Old Covenant infects people's understanding of the New Covenant. Society today cannot relate to the Old Testament, and we really don't need it to understand the gospel. No. Folks, we need the Old Testament to show us what a problem our sin nature is. To show us what a big problem our sin is. Choose a people, give them a promised land, give them prophets and all kinds of good laws, and they still screw up. We need the Old Testament to show us how much we need that Savior that we're supposed to be walking with. So the question is, are we walking in the Word? Are we walking with Jesus by walking in the Word? Not just New Testament, but Old Testament too? President Donald Trump purposely speaks at a sixth grade level so more people can understand him. The Holy Spirit purposely wrote the Bible at a fourth grade level so even more people can understand it. Are we walking with Jesus by walking in the Word? Are we doing that distracted walking? Distracted by our phones? Talia, can I ask you a question? How many apps do you have on your phone? She has zero. How many Twitter accounts do you have? How many followers do you have on Instagram? Talia? Are you telling me that you don't have a phone? You're 10 years old and you don't have a phone. Because your parents won't let you have a phone? Have you called DCFS and reported your parents for child abuse for not letting you have a phone? No. See, she doesn't have followers. She is a follower. She's a follower of Jesus Christ. And she doesn't live by everything that, all the claptrap that comes out of social media. She lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it's a good thing. Because in case you don't know it, your smartphones are gross. Center for Disease Control says the average smartphone in America has 1,480,182 dangerous bacteria crawling all over it at any given time. Your smartphone has 18 times more germs on it than a gas station toilet. And you're constantly handling that thing, putting it up next to your face, your eyes and your nose and your mouth. Talk about being distracted. Are you really walking with Jesus by walking in the Word? And listen to me. If you're really into the Word, you can't just post some Bible verses for clickbait on your Facebook page. If you're really walking with Jesus by walking in the Word, that means you really have to read the Bible. And you not only read it, you act on it. And you take principles and standards that are in it, and you use that to determine how you live your everyday life. That's what it means to walk in the Word. When you walk with Jesus by walking in the Word of God, there's blessing. For years and years, Tim Tebow caught seven kinds of hell over and over again for being a Christian, for talking about his faith, for praying on a football field, for trying to play pro baseball when no pro football team would sign him. 31 years old, people laughed at him because he was a virgin. They floated rumors that he was gay. Well, last January the 9th, Tim Tebow finally got engaged to Miss Universe 2017, a girl named Demi Lee Nels Peters. And why did Tim Tebow wait so long? I'll tell you why. Because Tim Tebow walks with Jesus. So he has standards that come directly out of the Word of God, standards that he will not and would not compromise one bit just to be married. This is what Tim Tebow said. Both Demi Lee and I are Christians, and our whole lives are about walking with the Lord and trying to obey Him. So we knew we needed to wait on sex for marriage and then wait on God to give us the right partner for marriage. And because we've both been faithful to wait on God's timing, God was faithful to us and has blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, do not let the words of this book depart from your mouth, but meditate on them day and night and be careful to do everything that is written in them. Then you'll be prosperous, then you'll be successful. We walk with Jesus by walking in the Word. But beware, there's not only blessings that come from that, there's also the attacks. Last Sunday, February the 3rd, 31-year-old Tim Kaufman from Fort Collins, Colorado, went for a 12-mile run on a scenic trail in the Horsetooth Mountain Park, about 15 miles west of Fort Collins. But just 10 minutes into that run, he heard some pine needles rustling behind him, turned around, and there was a big old mountain lion coming right at him. And he did exactly what the ranger said. He put his arms up in the air and started yelling to try to make himself look as big and bad and scary as he possibly could. But that lion still lunged at him and went right for the jugular. And when Tim Kaufman put his hands in front of his face, that mountain lion chomped on his right hand, started chewing it to pieces, started clawing him, scratching him. That thing was trying to kill him. But see, Tim Kaufman is a born-again Christian. So all of a sudden he realized Jesus was with him. He could do all things through Christ who gives him strength. So he started fighting that thing. And when he went to throw that mountain lion off of him, both of them rolled down the slope next to the trail, and the war was on. Now, Tim Kaufman's only 5'10", 150 pounds. And even though that cat was chewing his hand to pieces and scratching and clawing him all over, he managed to take his left leg and pin that mountain lion's back legs to the ground so it couldn't move. Then, the hand still in the mouth, he took his left hand, tried to grab sticks, and stabbed that mountain lion in the neck to kill it. But the sticks kept breaking. So he grabbed big rocks and tried to bash that cat in the head to kill it, but it was thrashing so much he couldn't get a bead on it. And he knew better than to try to rip his hand out of that cat's mouth and start running, because the cat would follow him and kill him for sure. So slowly but surely, with all the strength he could muster, he managed to move his right leg along that cat's body toward its head. With all the scratching and thrashing going on, he got his right foot underneath his hand in that mountain lion's mouth, on that mountain lion's throat, and started pushing down as hard as he could till he suffocated that thing to death. Then he ran 3 miles before he found a parking lot and met somebody to take him to the hospital. People, that's what you call a real cat fight. He ended up with over 20 stitches in his face, over 100 stitches in his arm and in his hand, cuts and scratches all over his body from head to toe, but he was still alive. And this is what Tim Kaufman said. "The only way I could have killed that thing was by the power that Jesus gave me. The devil attacks us in all kinds of ways, but Jesus is always faithful to help us and give us the strength to beat him every time." Christians, listen to me. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So if you're going to try to walk with Jesus out there in the world, you are part of the devil's food chain. And you're not going to be able to scare him off. You're going to have to fight him off, because the devil goes for the jugular and tries to claw and scratch and bite because he wants to steal and kill and destroy you. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So even though the devil is not going to be taken out until the lake of fire, you can hold him off and give him a whooping every single time he attacks if you stay faithful and keep walking with Jesus. The second thing we need to do in order to walk with Jesus, we need to understand why we should. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do in order to walk with Jesus. We not only need to understand who we're walking with, we not only need to understand why we should walk with him. Third, we need to understand what we're walking for. And that's exactly what these two followers understand here, verses 28 to 35. We walk with Jesus to have him in our lives. Verses 28 and 29, Jesus and the two followers get close to Emmaus. It's getting late, and because the code of the Middle East is hospitality, those two followers ask Jesus to stay the night. And the text says right there, Jesus acted like he pretended, like he was just going to go on. Like, I don't want to cause any trouble. Besides, I got enough points for a free night at Motel 6 anyway. And why did Jesus do that? Verse 29, they strongly urged him to stay. Jesus purposely acted like he was just going to go on so those two followers would insist on inviting him. And why? Because Jesus doesn't go anywhere he's not wanted. Jesus doesn't go anywhere he's not welcome. Jesus only goes where he's invited. Let me ask you this morning, have you invited Jesus Christ into your life? We walk with Jesus and invite him into our lives because we want a relationship with him. Notice verse 30. Once Jesus accepts the invitation and they get inside the house, what are they doing? They're eating with each other. They're eating. And because Jesus is the honored guest, the custom is the honored guest always give thanks. Jesus gives thanks for the food. But what is the number one thing that people in the Middle East do and still do to this day to show friendship and relationship? They eat with each other. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." How is friendship and relationship expressed in that verse? Jesus eats with people. Jesus wants a relationship with people. Now, most of us think that Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 was written to unbelievers. Because we always hear that verse in evangelistic sermons. You got to open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ into your life. How many of y'all realize Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 was written to Christians in the church in Laodicea who were not walking with Jesus because they had shut him out of their lives? And how many Christians listening to the sermon right now have done exactly the same thing? Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So Christians, do you really have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? And not trusting Him for salvation. I'm talking about walking with Him every single day. Or are you just trying to make it look like you have a relationship with Jesus? Last March the 23rd, a driver on the interstate in Tacoma, Washington, in the HOV, High Occupancy Vehicle Express Lane, got pulled over and fined $125. Because instead of having another real person in his car with him, which would have made it legal for him to drive in that express lane, instead in the front seat he had a cardboard cutout of the Dos Equis guy. The most interesting man in the world. Just making people think that he had somebody with him. Christians, let me ask you, are we really traveling and walking with Jesus? Or are we just trying to make it look like and make people think that we're traveling with Jesus? Because Christians, listen to me, we will never know Jesus Christ in all of His fullness like we should or could unless we invite Him into every single area of our lives and put in that time in the Word and in prayer, building up that relationship. And then notice verse 31. Once those two followers establish that relationship with Jesus and they've ate with Him and they recognize who He is and they realize that it's Him, He disappears. To let them know that eventually He is going to go back to heaven. But even if He's not going to be with them physically anymore, He's still going to be with them spiritually. Just like He's with us Christians today. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we Christians walk with Jesus by faith, not by sight. We walk with Jesus so that He can change us. Just like He changed those two followers. Verse 32. Were not our hearts burning inside of us when He opened the Word to us on the road? So their hearts weren't burning because they had flaming fajitas for supper that night. Their hearts were burning because Jesus was with them and He lit the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of them. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. The Word of God is like a fire shut up in my bones. Christians, is that true for us? Are we really walking on fire with Jesus Christ, with the Word of God burning in our hearts? Or are we doing that distracted walking? One of the stupidest challenges on social media today is the fire challenge. People setting themselves on fire and then dousing the flames so they can be a YouTube star. Well, last November, 12-year-old Tamia Landers from Detroit, Michigan, coated herself with spray from Bath and Body Works, lit a match, and went up like a Christmas tree. Parents heard the screams, got her in the shower, but not before she got third-degree burns over 50% of her body. That 12-year-old girl spent 6 weeks in ICU, bandaged up from head to toe. Talk about distracted walking. Young people, listen to me. Either you're going to walk with Jesus and do the good things Jesus tells you to do, or you're going to walk with the world and do the stupid things the world tells you to do. But you've got to choose, because you can't do both. You can't walk with Jesus Christ and walk with the world at the same time. Because Jesus doesn't just want part of you, He wants all of you. You walk with Jesus, you're going to get more like Jesus. You walk with the world, you're going to get more like the world. You walk with the world, you're going to get burned. You walk with Jesus Christ, He's going to start your heart burning by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the real challenge is not setting yourself on fire on the outside, because any dumb schmo can do that. The real challenge is letting Jesus Christ change you by setting you on fire from the inside. by the power of the Holy Spirit, making you into that person that Jesus Christ wants you to be, created you to be, and called you to be. After Jesus Christ rose from the dead, every single person He ever met, He gave them heartburn, He set them on fire, and He absolutely changed the entire course and direction of their entire lives. Just like He did with these two followers. Just like He wants to do with us. We walk with Jesus so we can serve Him as He leads us. Notice, the very nanosecond that these two followers realized they'd just seen Jesus, immediately they go to Jerusalem. And even though it was already dark, and it was 7 miles and 2 hours back there, and it was a dangerous trip, they didn't even finish eating. They dropped everything and they ran. Verse 34, they get to the disciples in Jerusalem and the disciples confirm the resurrection. They say Jesus is risen and even appeared to Simon Peter sometime that afternoon. Jesus popped up to all kinds of people after He rose from the dead. And the reason the Bible doesn't tell us all kinds of things about it is because those resurrection appearances, like to Peter here and later on to James, were personal, private things between them and the Lord. Then verse 35, those followers told the disciples everything that Jesus said and did to them. 9 times here in these 23 verses, there's movement in the Greek. These followers going all over the place for Jesus and the cause of Christ. Christians, let me tell you, you get walking on the road with Jesus Christ, you have no idea when or where He is going to tell you to start walking, to serve Him and to reach other people. Forrest and Jean Nutter are both born-again Christians. And last Thursday, January the 10th, they drove up to their weekend cabin in Gordon, Wisconsin. And they have a big old white dog named Henry. And after the 3-hour trip, Henry always wants to run right into the cabin and go to sleep. But that day, January the 10th, for some reason, he wanted to go for a walk, which he has never done before. So bad he was jumping up and down. What in the world? But it was only 20 degrees outside. And the road was solid ice. But because Henry was having a cow, and because Gene Nutter's devotions that morning were Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, she grabbed the leash and off they went. Well, last October the 15th, 22-year-old Jake Patterson from Gordon, Wisconsin, drove all the way down to the town of Barron, Wisconsin, to the home of Jim and Denise Kloss. Just after midnight, walked up to the front door with a shotgun. Jim answered the door, shot and killed Jim through the front door, went and busted down the door to the bathroom where Denise was holding on to their 13-year-old daughter, Jamie. Shot Denise in the head, killed her on the spot, duct taped Jamie's hands and feet together, threw her in the back of his car, and Jake Patterson took her all the way back up to his house in Gordon. People's like something right out of a horror movie. And can you imagine the hell that that girl went through, seeing both of her parents shot and killed right in front of her very eyes, and then being kidnapped and having no idea where she was going or what was going to happen to her? Jake Patterson had seen Jamie Kloss at a bus stop 3 months before and just decided that was a girl he was going to take. And boy, did he ever. Folks, you talk about a horrible, horrible premeditated crime. Well, Jamie Kloss's picture was plastered all over the United States. Volunteers searched all over Kingdom Come. Her family members begged for any leads at all. But after 3,500 tips, that girl was nowhere to be found. And you know why? Because when Jake Patterson took her to his house up in Gordon, Wisconsin, he kept her under his bed. And every time he would leave the house or go to work, he would stack boxes filled with weights that were so heavy Jamie couldn't push him. He stacked them around the edges of the bed so she couldn't get out from under. And every time somebody would come over to his house, he would play loud music in that bedroom to drown out any noise that she might try to make. And he told her over and over again if she tried to escape, he'd kill her. So there she stayed until Thursday, January the 10th. When Jake Patterson left the house, some way, somehow, she managed to push those boxes out, got out from under that bed, and started running. Ran out of the house, stumbling along that frozen, icy road, wearing only a sweater and yoga pants, having no idea where she was, no idea where she was going, until she saw Gene Nutter walking that big old white dog. ran up to her and said, "I'm Jamie and I need help." Well, of course, Jean Nutter, from all the posters around, she knew exactly who she was, quick took her to her neighbor's house and called the police. And as the police were driving there through that neighborhood in Gordon back to where that house was, they passed Jake Patterson driving in a car because he had gone home, found that Jamie was gone, and was out in that car looking for her. Folks, if Jean Nutter hadn't taken that walk that day, if God hadn't used a Bible verse and that dog to get her moving, police say Jake Patterson would have found Jamie Claus wandering out there and that girl would be dead today instead of rescued. How many of y'all realize even when you're walking your dog, you can still be walking with Jesus? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. This is what Jean Nutter said. When God speaks to you, especially through His Word, you have to obey because He knows a lot more than we do. And beyond anything that we could ever think or do on our own, it always results in somebody getting blessed. Christians, Jesus is always, always, always calling us to walk with Him. So we can find people who've been kidnapped and taken captive by the devil. So we can help them get set free too. Do we understand what we're walking with Jesus for? Christians, listen to me. Every single one of us believers is still called by God to walk that road to Emmaus, to understand who Jesus really is, to understand that He's really risen from the dead, to understand how we're supposed to be walking with Him every single day in order to reach out to other people. But you know what? There's some believers listening to this sermon right now, right here in this sanctuary. You're not walking with Jesus on that road right now, are you? Maybe it's sin in your life that's caused you to turn to the right or to the left. Maybe you're mad at Jesus because of some unfulfilled expectation. Maybe some distraction from the world has got you down a rabbit trail because Jesus is going that way, you're walking this way. But whatever it is, the cure is exactly the same as it was for those two followers 2,000 years ago. What got those two followers to make a U-turn and get back on the right road was one look, one glimpse of the risen Jesus Christ. You say, "But Kevin, we can't see Jesus physically today." No, but we can see Him spiritually. In our hearts and in our spirits, with eyes of faith and our spiritual eyes. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Let's take a look at Jesus today. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Lord, we don't ask for visions today. We don't ask for ecstasies. We don't ask, Lord, for any glorious scene. We just want to see You. Lord, as we try to walk with You and so many things try to get us off this road, try to blur our understanding, try to discourage us, knock us off the side of the trail, I pray, Lord, that You just help us to stop, close our eyes and see You. See You high and lifted up, see You risen from the dead, all Your glory, all Your majesty. Lord, we will see You one day face to face in all of Your fullness. But right now, Lord, we see You with spiritual eyes and eyes of faith. And I pray, Lord, You just take that vision and You just keep us walking with You. Keep us walking that road, reaching out to as many people as we possibly can. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.